The mercy to the worlds, 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 sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے. Whoever gains glory and whoever gains the light gains it from your court, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Help my heart shine as well with your love, with your light and with your guidance. Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO Series 3, The Mercy to the Worlds. Alhamdulillah, we're on a beautiful journey through the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We've covered so much, but there's so much more to cover. So many lessons to learn, so many beautiful stories of the blessed companions who were around Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing the love, emotion, affection in the court of the best of creation and gaining the treasures of both worlds. Before we move on, let me start with the blessing of Durud-e-Pak. Subhanallah. You know, there is no shade on the Day of Judgment apart from the Arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, three people will be under the shade of the Arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. The first, the one who relieves the stress of my ummati. The second, the one who revives my sunnah. And third, the one who sends Durud-e-Pak upon me in abundance in this world. Now, a beautiful hadith of Barakah. Just going back to the first thing that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. The one who relieves the stress, the distress of my ummati. Today we live in a world where it's me, I, everything benefits me, and I don't like helping other people. That is not the way of the Muslims. The Muslims would help other people knowing that they didn't want anything in return, but they wanted their reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. Today, we look at a person, and when making the decision of whether to help them, we think, will he benefit me in the future? We shouldn't do that. Help people for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then the second, the one who revives my sunnah. Whenever I think about this particular part of this hadith of Mubarakah, I think of the beautiful beard. Revive this in the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then gain your reward on the Day of Judgment. And thirdly, sending Durud-e-Pak upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a beautiful, beautiful amal, what a beautiful deed this is. That you keep your tongue moist with the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal continues to shower blessings upon you, and alhamdulillah opens the treasures to the world and the hereafter for you. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Start with the question for this week. So, after Farz Salah, which Salah is the most superior? So we have the five daily prayers, we have the Fara'id, but after those, which is the most superior prayer that we can do? The answer towards the end, Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Quick recap. Alhamdulillah, we were on this beautiful journey through the life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you will remember how Allah Azza wa Jal granted permission for the Muslims to defend themselves. And then the kuffar of the Arabian Peninsula, all the different tribes were coming together and plotting how to put an end to Islam. And then they decided, let's go and wipe Islam from the surface of the earth by na'uzubillah martyring the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so they made this master plan, and they travelled and they arrived near Uhud Sharif. And then the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the beautiful companions, came to Uhud Sharif, just on the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara, and set up camp there, and then appointed some arrow throwers on a particular mount, and gave them the strong advice that do not move no matter what happens. And that's where we were. Inshallah, we're going to continue from there straight after our beautiful kalam this week by Rukn Shura Abdul Habib by Inshallah Zawajal. Listen to this beautiful kalam and enjoy it. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم محمد سيد الكونين وثقلين محمد سيد الكونين وثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به سواك عند حلول الحديث العمم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها ومن علومك علم اللوح والقلم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ثم الرضا عن أبي بكر وعن عمر ثم الرضا عن أبي بكر وعن عمر وعن علي وعن عثمان ذي الكرم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا ربي جمعا طالبنا منك مغفرة يا ربي جمعا طالبنا منك مغفرة وحسن خاتمة يا مبدئ النعم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا يا ربي مصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم واغفر لي قارئها واغفر لي سامعها واغفر لي قارئها واغفر لي سامعها سألتك الخير يا ذا الجود والكرم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
Subhanallah, what a beautiful kalam. Alhamdulillah, the beautiful Qasida Burda Sharif. And how beautiful are the couplets of this, Subhanallah. You know, it really connects with your heart. And some of the couplets are so amazing. You make du'as in the court of Allah Azawajal with the fasila of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You ask for success as well. We should recite this regularly and teach it to our children as well. Alhamdulillah, a beautiful recitation. May Allah Azawajal give us the blessings and barakats of this. Inshallah, we're going to move to our main segment, this beautiful journey through the life of the mercy to the worlds. Salu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. The mercy to the worlds.
So the Muslims arrive at Uhud Sharif. The Kuffar are already there. They arrived quite early. They came from Makkah on that journey. And they are greater in number, better weapons, more equipped. They have food, water, they have women with them, everything else. The Muslim army arrives and they are significantly fewer in number. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam then gives different people different tasks, puts them in command of different positions, and organizes the army beautifully, and then takes 50 archers. Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put him on a little mount. Those of you who've been to Uhud Sharif, in front of where the great Hazrat Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the other shuhada, the martyrs of Uhud are resting, just opposite that. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the words are very important. Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stressed to them that no matter what happens, whether we win or lose, do not come down from here. This shows the beautiful vision of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized those words because those words were going to be very important. So, the armies then face each other. And the Kuffar at the time had a very skillful person amongst them. This person, when it came to the art of war, when it came to tactical thinking, when it came to intelligence, he was absolutely brilliant, as history would prove. But at that point in time, he was on the wrong side. He hadn't accepted Islam. He was commanding the right wing of the army of the disbelievers. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, who hadn't accepted Islam at that time. There were other commanders as well. Now, the battle starts. Certain people take out certain others, and there are fights between them. And then the main battle starts. And even the women of the disbelievers of Makkah are there, and they're shouting and they're cursing and they want revenge, because you have to remember, in the Battle of Badr, a lot of the senior leaders of Makkah were killed. So these were women that belonged to their households who wanted to travel with this army, and they came. So they started to curse and they started to say, today we will take revenge, and today we will do this, today we will do that. Then, during the battle, the Muslims are well organized and they're making progress. At one point, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that who will take my sword, subhanallah, and the good fortune of Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Dajana radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he is gifted with this priceless beauty. He takes the sword and he descends into battle and he uses the sword of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You've got the lions like Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who are fighting the disbelievers. And don't forget, these are the people who have come all the way from Makkah, traveled hundreds of miles to put an end to Islam, to na'uzubillah martyr the Prophet of Islam, to kill all the people in Medina because they were Muslims. This was this. So the Muslim army were there to protect. They were fewer in number, fewer in equipment, fewer in facilities they had. But the one thing that they had, that the other side didn't, was the love of Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. They tear through the rows and they are fighting courageously. Now, one of the discussions that took place in Makkah was that Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu had killed some leaders there. And so they discussed, and Wahshi had been appointed and promised a great reward if he could martyr Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu is fighting, and then these people attack very cowardly from behind rocks and from his back, and they injure him, and eventually they martyr this lion of Allah Azza wa Jal, the uncle of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Both sides fight strongly, but alhamdulillah, the Muslims are going strong. When the disbelievers, the people of Makkah, see that these people are again gaining the upper hand, some of them start to flee. Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala was somebody special because his father was actually fighting on the other side. But he was that passionate that he'd said in the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is where, you know, the companions were, there was no limit. They said, Ya Rasulullah, if my father comes, I will take care of him. And Nabi Akram forbade him and said, no, don't do that. Even though he's on the other side, you go and fight your own battle and leave your father to others. He fought with great spirit. He's martyred. At the end of the battle, when everybody was gathering the bodies of the martyrs, they couldn't find Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala. Why? Because when he had left home, there was an announcement that was made that we're going to battle, and he didn't want to miss it. And when he left home, actually, he needed to do ghusl. And when he was martyred on the plains of Uhud Sharif, he was still in that state where he needed to perform ghusl. And the angels actually took him to the heavens. So the companions came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the battle and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we found everybody else, but we can't find Hanzala. And the best of creation, the Prophet of the Unseen, looks towards the heavens and smiles and says, Hanzala is being given ghusl by the angels and he'll be brought back. Subhanallah. That's why they call him the one who is bathed by the angels. Subhanallah. The Mahajirun, the Ansar, they fought greatly. The enemy was suffering loss. The flanks of the disbelievers who had come to put an end to Islam are now in disarray. They start running, they start leaving things behind, and the whole battlefield is changed. The Muslims have got the upper hand and they are running. At that point, some of the people, they start to get their hands on the war booty. The disbelievers are running away, even though they were greater in number. The Muslims had outsmarted them, outfought them, and they started to run away. As they did, some of the people started to take the booty of war and started to relax, and they took their guard down, they put their guard down. When the archers on top of the mountain, the ones that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had placed, the 50 with the arrows, and said, no matter what happens, do not come down from here. When they saw that the Muslims are winning or have won
they got this concept that the enemy is now running away. It's over. They thought, well, we can come down now. But some of the companions said, no, don't forget what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. We can't move from it. They said, well, look, it's over. These people are going. It's finished. And they didn't listen. They came down. At that point, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who hadn't accepted Islam at that time, he sees that they've left that flank, the vulnerability, the Achilles heel, and therefore we can attack. He was a brilliant, intelligent commander. He comes around the other side. Because the archers are not there, there are only a few people there. He takes them down and attacks the Muslims from the back. They are too busy chasing the enemy away, looking at the booty and thinking we've already won. They put their guards down and the enemy attacks from behind. When they attack from behind and the Muslims turn and they're caught off guard, then those disbelievers who are actually running away, they see this and they turn around and they attack from the other side. So now the Muslims are in the middle, they're being attacked from the back, and then they're being attacked from the front as well. And from both sides, the enemy has surrounded them. This was only possible because the archers that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeing the future, had predicted, do not come down from here, had disobeyed. They had come down from there, and that's what led to this. Now in this absolute mayhem and chaos, everybody was being attacked, people were being martyred, and it was complete chaos. Everybody was worried about the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody's looking around. They can't see Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is looking around. He's stressed because he can't see Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A lot of other companions are trying to find Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some have actually, the word spreads that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been martyred. So some of them lay down their swords and think, what's the point? Hazrat Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu are fighting through the ranks of the kuffar, and they see a few Muslims who are sat there and they say, what's wrong with you? Why are you not fighting? And they say, well, the one we came for, the noble Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is no longer with us. So what's the point? They say, well, look, we're going to go. Why don't we die as martyrs? Why just sit here and just die in this way? Get up, let's go, let's carry on. They march back into the battle. But the whole passion of the Muslims has been taken from them because they think that Nauzubillah Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been martyred. And as this news spreads through the Muslims, their enthusiasm and their strength and their courage starts to disintegrate. But Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still alive. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being guarded by close companions. Now the kuffar see this and he thinks, what a time to attack. So they attack. And this is where history will tell you that this has never happened before. You had companions around Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People came with swords and they put their hands in the way, they put their arms in the way. There were companions who had 80 or 90 wounds when they were found afterwards, but they didn't let anybody get near Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were companions who were throwing themselves in front of arrows and swords and spears to protect Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You had one companion who was putting his face in front of the face of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was being hit with arrows, but he wasn't bothered. Hazrat Qatada radiallahu ta'ala, an arrow hits his eye. His eye comes out. He says to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I lost my eye. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put their saliva mubarak, lu'abi dahan mubarak onto the eye. They place it back in the socket. And Hazrat Qatada radiallahu ta'ala says that after the battle, as I grew older, my other eye got weaker, as it does everyone's as they get older. But the eye that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had placed back in its socket remained perfect. Now, the kuffar are thinking, this is the opportunity. There is the Prophet. We can martyr him. We can put an end to Islam. This was our mission. This is why we've come. There are only a few people around him. Little did they know that these few people, subhanallah, had the strength and courage of the world. They could take on anybody. They threw themselves at the feet of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tried to protect the best of creation. This beautiful companion of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood strong. They stood all the way around Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the position was very different. It was very difficult. And Ubay bin Khalf, he was a kafir of Makkah. He was a disbeliever. He was a leader. He was quite wealthy. You will remember he was the one who was torturing the Muslims in Makkah. He used to ride around on a horse and stand very proudly. And he used to say, when I martyr this Prophet of Islam, I'm going to be on this horse. One day, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah willing, I will kill Ubay bin Khalf. Now what happened is on the Maidan, on the battlefield of Uhud, he sees the opportunity. He gets hold of an arrow. He comes towards Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He rides into battle and he's going for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him approaching and took a spear from Sayyidina Harithah radiallahu ta'ala anhu and aimed it at Ubay bin Khalf. Now it just causes a wound, a light wound to his neck. And he eventually flees the camp as the other kuffar do. And he actually goes away. But what happens to him eventually is that he's complaining about this little wound to his neck after the battle when they've moved away from Uhud Sharif. And those with him say, be a man. You're complaining about this little wound. He said, no, this wound has been inflicted by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm telling you, it is so painful that every part of my body is dying. He eventually died from that little wound that he had sustained from the beautiful hands of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the picture of Uhud. Now, because of this attack from behind, from the flanks, by Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Muslims have been left in difficulty. A battle that they no doubt would have won became almost a stalemate contest because both parties had suffered losses. Muslims, a lot of Muslims were martyred because of what happened. And the kuffar walked away thinking they are victorious. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being attacked. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is injured. Their tooth Mubarak suffers an injury as well. And the one riwayat says that there was some damage to the cheek Mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But these companions were all the way around. They go up to Uhud Sharif and they climb up into a small area into Uhud Sharif. And at that point, Abu Sufyan comes there. He calls out and says, is Muhammad there? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs the companions who are with him not to reply. He then shouts, is Abu Bakr there? And nobody answers at the command of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he shouts, is Umar there? And again, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered them not to reply. Receiving no reply, Abu Sufyan then says, they're all dead. If they were not dead, they would have answered me. On hearing this, Sayyidina Umar Farooq the Great, the most courageous, couldn't bear it any longer. He couldn't bite his tongue. And he says, O enemy of Allah, you are a liar. We are all alive and well. Abu Sufyan, having shouted what he wants, he then starts to say, be proud, thinking that he's put an end to everything. The Messenger of Allah then instructs the companions to respond to Abu Sufyan. And they say, Allah is the most exalted, the most majestic. And Abu Sufyan then calls his idols and says, we have got Uzza, you don't have Uzza. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then instructs the companions to respond. And they say, Allah is our protector. Allah is our guardian. And you have no guardian. Abu Sufyan boasts that today we've avenged the killing of Badr. O Muslims, today our army disfigured your dead and dismembered their bodies. I did not order them to do so, but I do approve of their actions. However, neither do I feel remorse for what has happened. Then he leaves the battlefield. What the disbelievers, the kuffar of Makkah, their armies had done is disfigured the bodies of the martyrs. Hazrat Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his nose Mubarak, his ears were cut off, his body was disfigured, and Hind, taking revenge for her father, cut open the chest and chewed the liver of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this was where these people were martyred. When the kuffar move away, Allahu Akbar, the Muslims gather their martyrs. The position is very sorrow because it was a battle that the Muslims should have won. But due to one mistake, Everything had changed. Everybody played their part in this. When they were gathering the bodies, some could not bear to see the martyrs having been disfigured. But the jazbah was such that there was an Ansari woman. She had her husband, her father, all had fought in the battle. She comes and she asks, how is the Messenger of Allah? She's told, your husband has been martyred. Her question comes again, how is the Messenger of Allah? Your father has been killed. How is the Messenger of Allah? I'm not bothered about all of that. The most important question is, how is the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal? They tell her that Alhamdulillah, the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal is well. She says Alhamdulillah and then wants to see the best of creation. This was the courage and this was the bravery of the Muslims of that time. The martyrs of Uhud were special. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed that place. 70 companions, 4 from the Muhajirun and 66 from the Ansar, lost their lives on that day. And many disbelievers were slain. But the Muslims' position was such that they couldn't even afford shrouds for all of them. Hazrat Mus'ab bin Umair, that prince of Makkah, who was one of the best dressed men in Makkah. His mother was one of the wealthiest women in Makkah. And they used to say that at that time, his fragrances were imported, his clothes were special. And if you walked down a street and you could smell a fragrance, people used to say, has Mus'ab been down this road? And that's how he was. But then he fell in love. But he didn't fall in love, viewers of Madni Channel, with any woman or anything else, or fast cars or anything else, or rides or wealth or anything else. He fell in love with the best of creation. He migrated to Abyssinia. Then he came back. And the day he came back, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him wearing clothes that had patches on them. And Akka Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried and said something amazing. He said, this was the best dressed man in Makkah. Look what my love has done to him. Look what my love has done to him. And he was one of the martyrs on the plains of Uhud. And his position was that the best dressed man in Makkah, but they didn't have enough shroud for him. If they covered his head, his feet were exposed. And if they covered his feet, his head was exposed. And eventually, they used a kind of grass to cover his feet. Allahu Akbar. When you go to Uhud Sharif, it is a very, very special place. You know, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would visit the martyrs of Uhud, as would Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, as would Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Khulafa. On one visit to the graves of the martyrs of Uhud, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Allah, your Prophet bears testament that this group sacrificed their lives seeking your pleasure, and then said, verily until the day of resurrection, these shuhada will reply to Muslims who visit them and convey greetings of peace upon them. Subhanallah. This is why when we have the honor and the privilege of going to Madinatul Munawwara, we always go to Uhud Sharif. In fact, some of the scholars write and some of the great Walis of Allah Azza wa Jal directors that the gatekeeper for the city of Medina is Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, the uncle of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was martyred. And there are a lot of people that I've seen who, when they enter Madinatul Munawwara, they go to the feet of Hazrat Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they ask for permission to enter the city of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when they leave, they make a special dua in the court of Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and then they leave. This is love and affection in the court of the uncle of the best of creation, who sacrificed his life at the feet of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there was one companion, Hazrat Fatima Khuzayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she says that while passing by the grave of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anha, I said, peace be upon you, O uncle of the Messenger of Allah. And I heard the reply, and peace be upon you and the mercy and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. No doubt the Quran says that these martyrs are not dead. They are alive, but you understand not. And that's exactly what this companion of Akka Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, that when she gave salam to Hazrat Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anha, she received a reply. If we go with the intention and that true love and passion, who knows, maybe we will get a reply. But even if you can't hear that reply, the best of creation said that they do reply. So give your salam with that passion that you, and with that knowledge that when you give salam, even though your ears aren't good enough, there are some ears that can hear the reply of these martyrs. Subhanallah. You know, there was something amazing about the Shuhada of Uhud. About 46 years after they were buried, there came a time when some of them were exhumed and their bodies taken out. And at that time, the scholars write that their bodies were intact, untouched, as if they had just been buried. And the people of Medina and the others present saw that the Shuhada, that even their wounds were still wet, and that they moved away from there with blood still flowing, and that they were, everything was preserved perfectly. Subhanallah, subhanallah. These are the people who die in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, these are the martyrs. These are the people who are alive, but we can't comprehend how Allah Azza wa Jal feeds these people in the grave, and they have great rank, and especially these martyrs who gave their life for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and who Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam blessed. There were others after the Battle of Uhud who again plotted against Islam, who again brought together different tribes of Arabia to try and put an end to Islam. And in this era, in the first era, you'll remember, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is preaching and giving da'wah of Islam, the Muslims are being persecuted. Then they move to Madinatul Munawwara and they're peacefully propagating Islam, but the kuffar are not letting them live, and they try again and again to put an end to Islam, and yet they fail miserably. They try all sorts of deceptions. They try to create fitna, they try to create disorder, and they keep trying. Different people come together, and people like Ka'b bin Ashraf, they come and they try to incite the kuffar into building another army. They go back and try to cause mischief in the land, and yet they are killed when, you know, the Muslims are stopping these fitnas and this disorder from spreading. Then different armies prepare to come and attack the Muslims in Medina again. And again, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam send the companions or go themselves to protect the city of Madinatul Munawwara. At that time in the Arabian Peninsula, the one key theme seems to be that no matter what happens, we need to put an end to Islam. Another army comes, and in this time, the people, the Muslims, march out to meet this army outside Medina. And they, the companions are 400. They march out, they set up camp. When the enemy sees them, they run into the mountains. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam move from the valley and take refuge under some trees because it starts to rain. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hang their sword Mubarak on a branch and take rest. The leader of the kuffar, the disbelievers, the enemy, he sees that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting from his mountain place. So he comes running down, thinking this is the opportunity. He seizes the opportunity, comes, stands over Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while they're resting on their chadar Mubarak, their mantle Mubarak, and he's got the sword and he proclaims, "O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is going to save you from me?" Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam open their eyes Mubarak, see him, and immediately reply, "Allah." In the blinking of an eye, Hazrat Jibril Amin is sent from the heavens. He comes and strikes his chest with a blow so hard that the sword falls from his hand. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pick up the sword and say to him, "Now tell me, who will protect you from me?" He's trembling in fear and replies, "No one but the mercy to the worlds." Allahu Akbar. This is true mercy. I mean, somebody is just standing over you, about to, you know, kill you, about to martyr you, and yet when the roles are reversed immediately, he says, "Who is going to save you from me?" And the enemy replies, "No one." And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgives him and says, "Go, you can go." Subhanallah. Upon seeing this act of clemency, this act of kindness, this act of compassion of the best of creation, which is unparalleled, he immediately recites the kalma and embraces Islam. Then the historians write that he returns back to his people and steadfastly propagates Islam and says that Islam is amazing, and that beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is truly something beyond our comprehension. to cheese degree. He is something else. He's something amazing. And spends his life at the feet of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the third year of Hijrah. And then in this year, other events that happened was that the great Hazrat Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu was born on the 15th of Ramadan al-Mubarak. So 3 years after Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Makkah to Mukarramah to Medina to Munawwarah, you had the Battle of Uhud, and then Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala was born. Then the Messenger of Allah azza wa jal married Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala, the daughter of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was widowed at the time of the Battle of Badr. Then Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu married Hazrat Kulsum, the daughter of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran revealed laws in relation to inheritance and blood relatives, etc. And all certain other commands were revealed as well. Then we move to the fourth year after Hijrah. I think I'm going to stop there, but I'll finish with this. That this was again a very difficult time for the Muslims. But what they did was they rallied around the best of creation. Battle of Badr was difficult enough, and the Muslims were given help by Allah Azza wa Jal by way of angels. On the plains of Uhud, things were different. But again, what came to light was that people didn't believe in their power, their strength, their courage, their weapons, or their intellect. What got them through this was their pure love of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their love for Allah and His Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And overall, people felt that the war, the battle between the two at that stage in Uhud was about equal. Some scholars write that the Muslims were victorious. Others write that no, it wasn't. But whatever the situation, Islam, alhamdulillah, was growing. And Islam was now able to protect Madinatul Munawwara from the different armies that came to conquer it. And the Muslims were gaining strength day and night. Then the fourth year after Hijrah. A lot of events happen in this blessed year. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we're going to cover those in our episode next week. We're going to move to our easy deed section. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the world.
Now, easy good deeds. You remember last week we mentioned the glorious Quran. And how, if you recite, the Quran is an ocean. It has so many blessings and so many pearls and diamonds that the more you dive into it, the more you will gain. Today, one of the saddest things is that we are distant from the Quran. This is why the scholars said, okay, if we hadn't lost the teachings of the Quran, the Muslims wouldn't be facing the difficulties they're facing today all over the world. The Quran was our strength. You know, the Muslims didn't rely on medication, didn't rely on this, that, and the other. What the Muslims relied on was the Quran for everything. This book of Allah Azza wa Jal was the basic strength of the Muslims. Everything they did evolved around this book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Everything they wanted came from this amazing book of Allah Azza wa Jal. It had the power to do everything. Yet today, we have left it. And that's why we are in disgrace. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu anhu stated that whoever likes to know whether he has devotion to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he should determine how much he loves the glorious Quran. And the scholars write that what that means is how much he recites and how much he acts upon it. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi says that. Now, if we say we love Allah and his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, well, the test here that is given is how much Quran do you recite? This is the Quran where every letter gives you 10 good deeds. This is the Quran which when you read it, it raises your ranks. This is the Quran which gets rid of and erases your sins. This is the Quran that is shifa, that is a cure. This is the Quran that is the solution to all your problems. Today, if you're surrounded by problems, ask yourself, how much Quran do you recite? During the week, my dear viewers of Madni Channel, you have all this time for these phones and social media, you know, 2-3 hours of browsing a day and all the social media platforms and everything else. You sit in front of the television for hours on end, maybe 20, even if it's 2-3 hours a day, 7 days a week, 21 hours, if it's 4 hours, 28 hours you spend on the phone and social media. Ask the same person, how much Quran you've read. And his head hangs in shame because he says, I didn't have time. It's not that you didn't have time. It's that you didn't make time because you didn't appreciate how amazing this book was. You didn't appreciate the treasures within it. If somebody said to you, you can earn £100 an hour, you'd run to the other side of the world to try and gain that because you know that there's a treasure there to be gained. The Quran was a treasure, but by not appreciating it, you left it. Dawat Islami's Madni environment encourages the recitation of the Quran. In the Nek Amal, you know, the pious deeds booklet, Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliyah emphasizes reading of the glorious Quran. It asks, today did you recite or listen to at least 3 verses from the Holy Quran, Kanzul Iman, with translation and commentary? How long does it take to do that? Maximum 10 to 12 minutes. Maximum. Have you not got 10 to 12 minutes a day to change your life, to increase your good deeds in your book of deeds, to fill this book of deeds? In 10 or 12 minutes, you would probably be able to fill this book greater than everything else you do during the day, just by reciting the glorious Quran. This is one of the best worships of Allah Azza wa Jal. Reading the Quran is a barakat and a blessing. It changes your life. And yet, we are so far from the Quran. Today, we're reading novels and booklets and journals and everything else. How many of us who haven't read the glorious Quran? There is a beautiful English translation, Kanzul Iman, available on the Maktabat al-Madinah website. There is a new translation by Mufti Qasim Sahib, Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah. Again, that is such an amazing translation, very easy to understand. And when you read it in conjunction with Siratul Jinan fi Tafsir al-Quran, which is the commentary, and very easy commentary for me and you to understand, then Alhamdulillah, your life will change. We had pious predecessors who used to read one ayat of the Quran and ponder upon its translation for hours and days and days. And today, that is a pleasure that we don't get. What did Allah Azza wa Jal say about this glorious Quran? Indeed, those who read the book of Allah and they keep the prayer established and spend from what we have bestowed upon them in secret and publicly are hopeful of a trade in which there is no loss. Reading this book, it's a trade for your book of deeds, which you have to decorate, which can never, never abandon you. This is how amazing it is. And in the last couple of minutes, I'm going to tell you that our pious predecessors, they lived by the Quran. A man came to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he complained about chest pains. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the answer, recite the Quran, because the Quran is a cure for hearts. Subhanallah. There are different verses of the Quran for different ailments. These medications and all these painkillers and everything else were invented now. Our pious predecessors used ayats of the Quran to get rid of their problems. You know, they used to, when they made dua, if they had something distressed or something else, they used to recite Surah Fatiha 100 times and Allah Azza wa Jal would accept their duas. They wanted to protect their house from the shaitan. If they had, you know, discord and fighting and everything else, they would recite Surah Baqarah in their house because the shaitan flees from the home in which you recite Surah Baqarah. If they had poverty, they would recite Ayatul Kursi in their homes. If they wanted to protect themselves from the fitnas of the Dajjal, they would recite the 10 verses of Surah Kahf Sharif. If they went to the graves of their parents, they would recite Surah Yasin Sharif. If they wanted protection and fulfilling their needs during the day, they would recite Surah Yasin Sharif in the morning. If they had troubles and afflictions, they would recite Surah Duhan, and because it removes troubles and difficulties. If they, you know, had they wanted fruits and blessings in abundance, they would recite Surah Kahf because it brought blessings. If they wanted to achieve an objective, they didn't just try, they put the effort in, but at the same time, they recited Surah Rahman Sharif 11 times, and Allah Azza wa Jal blessed them. If they wanted to be rich, and they wanted more wealth, they would recite Surah Waqia Sharif daily, and this would mean that poverty didn't come near them. If they wanted protection from the punishment of the grave, they would recite Surah Mulk Sharif, and they would gain the blessings of this. They would recite Surah Muzammil Sharif to get rid of difficulties, and the list goes on. I can sit here. I mean, when I was reading this even, you know, Surah Teen, Vatini was Zaytun, 3 times helps to improve character and manners. Surah Alaq, you know, helps to cure pain of joints. Surah Qadr in the morning and the evening helps to elevate your honor. And the list goes on. This Quran is amazing. This book is magnificent. The problem is we don't read it. Make it an intention. Even if it's 5 minutes, even if it's one ayat, Or get the translation from the Maktabat al-Madina. You can order it online as well. And make sure that when your children go to school in the morning, where you say, you know, have you packed your bags? Have you had your breakfast and everything else? Have you read the Quran? 5 minutes. Watch the barakats and blessings in the life of your child and in your home. Make this book everything in your life. Easy good deeds. I'm going to quickly come back to our answer. The question was that after Far Salah, which is the most superior Salah? And the answer is the Salah of the night. Get up in the middle of the night. When you're alone, pray in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah Azza wa Jal will bless you. I haven't received any details on who got the correct answer, but inshallah, at the beginning of the next program, we will announce it if I'm told. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless you all. May Allah Azza wa Jal let us learn about the life of our beautiful Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we can really appreciate the difficulties that Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through for us, so that we could humble ourselves in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Islam reached us in its perfect form and we got the keys to Jannah. Ameen bijahi Nabi Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu.
The mercy to the worlds, 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 sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.